knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is not today, but it will be today when you're listening to this, and it's tonight. Tonight, the Fire Emblem Three Hopes, the Dynasty Warriors-style game. Releases, I believe, at midnight, so I may stay up and play a little bit. Very excited about that.
I like
a Dynasty Warriors style game. I've mentioned this, and I like these characters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to enjoy the shit out of this.
I appreciate that in anticipation of this, you addicted both of us to a different game. That I like about this. You were like, oh, I'm excited for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And then both of us, because of you, are addicted to this other game.
That's not entirely true. Because there is the other Fire Emblem Dynasty Warriors style game.
That's true.
And I could have gone for that.
That's true.
I could have played another Fire Emblem game to try and get some familiarity with the characters in the Dynasty Warriors game that's already out. I just gave the Three Houses a try because people said it was really good. And it turns out they were right.
Then they were right.
And it is a side benefit that the Three Hopes was coming out so shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry that I've also afflicted that upon you.
No, it's fantastic. It was very helpful, and I'm not going to go outside for a long time. So.
Well, I mean, why would you? It's hot.
Hey, COVID's coming back, too. Who cares?
And it's hot.
Yeah. 90 degrees out there. Get the fuck out.
That's my bright spot. Yeah. I'm excited to play. I think this marks actually the first time that I have pre-downloaded a game.
Really?
Before it came out.
Yeah.
So it's there
ready.
A minute.
Oh, okay.
It's released. I don't know. We'll see how that feels on the other side of it.
I think I did that with Forbidden West. I had that one locked and loaded.
I think you've done that. I think you've mentioned doing that with a couple games.
Well, FF7 Remake for sure.
Right.
That I ordered like 6 months in advance, and I was refreshing to download every time.
So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot, Dan, is last night my partner and I said we saw Doctor Strange. We saw the new Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Very bad movie, but also an incredibly good movie. It turns out Sam Raimi was allowed to make one-fourth of Doctor Strange, the Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm.
He was totally allowed to do it.
Bruce Campbell showed
up. Bruce Campbell fought himself.
Great.
Real time. Just slammed his head into the... He did the
whole
thing.
So there's a multiverse situation, as I understand.
Yep. Quarter of it, Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm.
There's the zombie possession, like the whole thing. It's all in there, you know? Quarter of it, half of it is a Marvel movie, and you're like, fine, you're going to shoot the lasers or whatever.
Sure. World is going to be threatened with blowing up or
right,
something.
Right, yeah. Everybody's going to die. Fine, we get it. And then the other quarter was Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So it was a pretty good movie.
Did Zaphod Beeblebrock showing up?
It wasn't quite, but yeah, it was
Mos
close.
Def hanging around.
They had the moment where they go through the different realities and they all go bloop, 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 and then they're yarn, and then they're blah, and then they're, they do.
You didn't even have any recognition to me referencing Mos Def.
What do you mean? He was Ford Prefect in the movie. Of course, my friend.
All right.
He never got the hang of Thursday.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the quarter of that movie.
It was very good.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over, and all I can say is, finally, Alex has come back
to
the studio.
Oh, shit.
I'm not as good at that as The Rock, but
no,
Alex
quite.
Has finally returned from his protracted
sojourn.
He came back on June 22nd. So from the 6th to the 22nd, he was gone.
That's a good vacation.
With very little to hear from him, even in terms of like call-ins or anything. Very, very sparse appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, a lot of stuff has been going down over that time. So I was really excited to jump in, get down to it.
Yeah.
See what he had to say about some of these important issues.
Right.
We have the ongoing January 6th commission.
Sure.
Sessions.
Right.
We have the worsening situation with the Uvalde police response.
Oh, I mean, quite frankly. Absurd. Absurd.
There's a lot that we need to hear what he's got to say about it.
Yeah, but it seems kind of obvious to me now that he spent the last 2.5 weeks licking toads, man.
He might have.
It's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, that could be. He could have been on a spirit quest.
He could have been on a toad quest.
I'm just going to say this ahead of time, because there's no reason to tease anybody.
Sure.
He doesn't talk about anything meaningful at all. I was so disappointed. I really hoped.
It's the more Lucy pulls the football, man.
Yeah. This honestly, I was reflecting on it when I was trying to fall asleep last night.
And in the dark twilight.
I really think this is one of my least favorite weeks that we've had on the show.
This has been a rough one.
There's the constant push and pull of like, all right, he's going to be back.
He's
and
here.
And then he's
we'll
not.
Get there next time. Nope.
Yeah. It's, and it just doesn't happen. And then he finally shows back up. There's mm-hmm. important things on the docket. And then it's just deflating.
Yep.
And you know, I never like to put out like a under an hour episode.
Absolutely
even if it is
not.
A Wednesday.
No. Absolutely
me.
Not. No, you are haunted by it.
Oh. I think there's going to be January 6th style commission meetings about
we're
that.
We're going to wind up. We're going to have to get witnesses involved. We're going to see what where Owen's going to zoom in. We're going to be like, where the fuck was he? Why weren't you on top of this shit?
It's going to be revealed that Paul Joseph Watson emailed me about not doing episodes under an hour. So we'll get down to business on this June 22nd to see what did happen.
Right.
But before we do, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, Roger Stone's secret sultry Agnew tattoo. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Christina with a K. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Whoa. Frog in the throat.
Got caught in the throat.
Little toad earlier.
Oh, man.
Next, the Closet King and the Big Picture Boys are behind the Davos group. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Hell's Pastry Chef, specializing in dreamy, creamy stackies of snackies to eat while you're taking calls. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And
like
we got a couple of technocrats here, Jordan. So first, I will pay Dan $100 to do an audio version of Cujo. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat and no. And Harold T. Dingleberry, Borger Shorts Rex with his butt and stuff and such, but also his sides, a.k.a. our dog Odie. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone, sodomite, sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much. I hit the wrong one by accident.
You surprised me on that one.
Wow, hey, curveballs sometimes.
I was 2 seconds into it going, wait, what is happening here?
What? So we get back to Alex in occupied Texas.
All right.
Sitting at the desk.
Here we go.
And then we realize that maybe something else has been going on.
Is this a rerun?
No.
Oh, okay.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this live Wednesday, June 22nd worldwide broadcast. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Very pleased and honored to be back in this chair. Want to say great job to the crew, Owen Schroyer, and, of course, others. While I have been out of town, I've been back for days dealing with just the finances.
What?
Keep this operation on air because all small companies, and we're not a business to be a business, but we're a business to fund ourselves using capitalism to exercise the First Amendment freedom, are under absolute attack, not just this operation, but the entire country.
Yeah, so he's been back for days, apparently. But
Owen said that his flight was delayed.
Yeah, yeah.
So Owen lied to us.
He had to have.
Yeah.
They can't get their stories straight.
This is amazing.
Yeah, we need to do...
Does anyone in Texas tell the truth ever?
No.
Okay.
It turns out.
That makes sense, actually.
That's why I'm glad that my parents are moving out of Austin.
That makes finally sense.
Can finally can tell the truth.
You'll finally know what they've been thinking all these years.
Yeah. yeah, I don't know what I believe, but Alex's story seems more likely.
Yeah.
And then Owen sounds more likely as a cover for him being back and just being like, ah, shit, I got to find a way to make this
100%
this boat stay afloat or whatever.
That was definitely a thing where Owen's like, well, I'm sure Alex, after having told me to say this, will not throw me under the bus tomorrow.
Immediately.
Yeah. Won't do that immediately. Hmm. Nope. First thing he does is throw him under the bus.
And then the other thing, too, that I really enjoy is he's like, yeah, I'd like to thank Owen Schroyer and the rest who did the great job. Harrison Smith is getting the Gilligan's Island treatment.
Best place to put him. Best place to put him.
Harrison, buddy.
You might as well quit, Harrison. Mm-hmm. You're never making it to the majors, buddy.
Yeah. You're never going to be. Nope. The millionaire or his wife.
Nope.
The movie star.
Nope. You're not even going to be Owen. That's how sad it is for you.
You're not going to be the skipper?
Oof. Nope. Nope.
I'd like to recast Gilligan's Island as InfoWars. Alex is the skipper for sure.
Alex is, well, I mean, obviously. Mm-hmm. All right. So we got, then I think that would make, Corsi would have to be the millionaire, right?
Because
Corsi's paid too much money.
Pachenik's
too crazy. Pachenik's the professor.
But Pachenik has his wife who has to turn on the recording whenever they do. Whenever they do video
blogs. Pachenik is divorced from the reality. That's true.
Yeah, because it's a duo.
Right.
I think. No, professor's Roger Stone.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I'll give you that one. But I would prefer plots. Roger Stone as the rich guy.
He's not rich, though.
Not anymore. He's
really, really trying to get legal defense funds.
That's true.
I want Gilligan to be Paul Joseph Watson, but just because I want to see that silly side of him.
You're casting him to see if there is something there.
Yeah.
And like you're like evoking, like this is the first time you're casting Robin Williams in a dramatic role.
Well,
this is your moment.
I watched a fair amount of British slapstick when I was younger.
Sure.
And
sure.
You know, and unfortunately this is a bad time to bring him up, but right. Mr. Bean. You know, so I feel like there's just a Mr. Bean side
sure.
in Paul that's
yeah.
begging,
I can see that.
It's begging
see that.
To come out.
Maybe if he was allowed to indulge in that, then he wouldn't be such a piece of shit.
Yeah, it's possible.
That is possible.
And then I guess there aren't really many women who don't get fired at InfoWars, so casting Ginger
well,
and Marianne
I mean,
is going to be tough.
That's not hard. Well, I mean, Ginger is clearly Leanne McAdoo, and
but
Marianne is clearly Rainbow Snatch.
She's not there anymore.
Neither of them are there anymore. Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like if Gilligan's Island kicked those two off the island.
Yeah. I mean, Savannah Hernandez is around, but
sure.
she pretends to not be an employee at some point.
Yeah, that's a good idea on
so
her
she's going to only be a like recurring cast.
Yeah.
She can't be one of the main...
No, no. And she definitely, it's not like when the Globetrotter shows up. She's like a recurring, like, oh my God, how did that person fall on the island again?
Yeah. All right, well, we've gotten to the bottom of this.
I think we've done quite enough on it.
Mm-hmm.
How many more minutes do you think we got?
I have a few more thoughts.
Okay.
But before we get to them, Alex wants to set out a syllabus of what he's going to do for the day.
Okay.
And that is, he wants to take calls, and this is because he hasn't prepared shit. He doesn't know anything that's going on.
Obviously.
He's ill-prepared to do the show.
Totally.
And so he wants to take calls.
And I intend at the bottom of the hour to give the number out and take calls today, but I'm going to be very specific, and we're going to screen your calls today and ask that you call in on the specific subject that I'm about to lay out, which is how do we defeat the globalist? That's a huge, giant subject.
You're still on that subject.
How do we defeat the New World Order?
So many years.
What is the worst thing they're doing? What is the number one thing they're doing that we need to stop? Devaluing the currencies? Defunding the police? Dissolving the borders? Coming after our guns? Launching war with Russia? Preparing to release new bioweapons? But you know, they're not really preparing to release new bioweapons. They are releasing new bioweapons or targeting a new group of people with their bio nanotech weapon, and that is babies.
So I like this idea that Alex thinks he's being targeted with, like, what kind of calls he wants to take. But the two topics are, hey, what do you want to complain about our imaginary enemies doing?
Yep.
And what ideas do you have to stop our imaginary enemies?
Right.
those are so broad.
The most open-ended topics, yes. Allowing you to fit anything.
What's the worst thing the globalists are doing could legit be just bring up a topic.
Absolutely.
Whatever you want.
No. Hey, say like, drag queen story time hour. Oh, well, then how do we defeat the globalists? We stop those. And then they talk about that for the next 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. It does not matter.
No.
It could be anything.
It's the silliest prompt.
Yeah.
It's just a blank piece of paper, basically.
Yeah.
Pretending to be a prompt.
It does not. It wouldn't be allowed on an AP exam.
But
that's for sure.
But that's indicative of what Alex is up to. He doesn't have shit.
Do my job. For me is a very interesting way to open
come
your show.
Come up with anything for us to complain about.
Listen.
And I'll riff with you for a little bit and we'll be good.
The reason sports talk radio is better than this is because sports happens every day.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing today, so you guys do it.
And there's things that we are not going to talk about, like
nope.
The January 6th.
No! Never happened. Not even hearing of it.
So let's,
nope.
You come up with something.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're going to give vaccines to babies. And
sure.
This is actually kind of scary because Alex has in the past kind of said that that's a point at which murder is justified.
And which we should go ahead and start that hot war.
Yeah.
Yep. When they come for the babies.
Right. And he also is just making stuff up.
The corrupt FDA had 3 different rounds of resignations, firings, off their board the last year and a half because the board would not even authorizing these experimental injections for anybody. So they had one board resign, or large portions of it. Then they got new people on and said, now we're going to go down to age 16. And a bunch of them said no. Now we're going to add boosters and shots every few months. No. And now they had more board members resign. And they've got a board now that unanimously voted to lie to the public and say that this works great.
So we've talked about this story before, but just as a refresher course, in September 2021, 2 FDA officials resigned from the organization over frustrations with how the Biden administration was handling the rollout of booster shots. This was Dr. Marion Gruber and her deputy, Dr. Philip Krause. Their concern wasn't about the boosters being a dangerous conspiracy or anything. It was more of an organizational dispute, with Gruber not agreeing with the White House or the FDA's head vaccine officials' handling of the situation.
Right.
They didn't feel the input was being directed correctly.
Right. And that's where all of this stuff happened with Nakatomi Plaza.
Right.
That's
the only reality that's behind the entire story that Alex is weaving. 2 officials resigned in September 2021, and Alex has turned it into a protracted case of removing dissenters from the board over the course of multiple rounds of firings masked as resignations. This wasn't even the biggest resignation from the FDA in 2021. Back in June, 3 advisors resigned over their objection to approving Aduhelm. It was a new Alzheimer's drug that they felt wasn't effective.
Yeah.
So 3 people instead of 2.
Yeah, but that doesn't have the headlines of like, oh, they're trying to save
Alex
people.
Alex doesn't even know that happened.
No, why would they?
Yeah. So there's 2 things I want to point out about that clip that we listened to. The first is how Alex takes this kernel of truth, in this case, the fact that 2 FDA officials resigned 9 months ago, and then exploits the fact that his audience vaguely remembers that happening to build a gigantic narrative on top of it. Just about everything he's saying here is made up from his storytelling imagination. The second thing I want to bring up is why he's doing this. The news item he needs to cover is that the FDA and CDC voted unanimously to approve the COVID vaccines for children, and Alex needs a way to explain that. It's kind of impossible for the argument to be that they're well-meaning but misled doctors at this point, and the best way to explain the uniformity of their approval is to create a story where all the dissenters were weeded out gradually until this point, where the only people left are committed bioweapon enthusiasts.
Right.
This kind of thing can be important for audience control, because if you're Alex, you don't want the listeners starting to think about how it's possible for the things InfoWars to be saying to be true, and simultaneously, all the official bodies in the world completely disagree with the story that InfoWars is telling.
Yep.
Much of the time, when you hear a conspiracy theorist or propagandist say something that you know to be untrue, it's wise to ask yourself what's motivating them to make that up. Sometimes it might just be for no reason, but other times you can clearly see the structure of the game they're trying to play, and that reveals some of their priorities and concerns. And I think, you know, that comes out there.
Yep, that one makes it pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, this thing that, listen, I know we're on year 3 of me trying to pretend that this is not a problem, But I'm going to be honest with you. They're all trying to kill us again. It's all over again. It's June and July again. I don't know. We're all going to die. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
It's cyclical.
How many years are we going to do this?
Probably a few more.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So we got Alex. He's got chemicals on the brain. And so he starts talking about bisphenol A, one of his favorite chemicals to complain about.
I don't want that.
They put plastics in products like microwavable trays that have plastic lining that are basically bisphenol A and give you a massive dose of sterilant for men.
Okay.
And hyperfeminization for women. That doesn't make women look like Marilyn Monroe. It makes them look like bloated ogresses.
So is that the most feminine you can get?
You ever walked around the shopping mall and at least you're old enough to remember and you're like, man, since when are the girls taller than the boys? And it goes into the hormones and the endocrine disruptors and the studies. So when I tell you all this, there are tens of thousands of studies from every major prestigious university and medical facility you can
every one of them.
All of this, and they've done it by design.
So in the U.S., men and women's heights have grown at approximately the same rate, 5% or so, in the years between 1914 and the present. Mm-hmm. In other countries, rates have been actually quite variable, going in both directions, with women increasing more in some countries and men in others. This has nothing to do with bisphenol A, but this does reveal an interesting dynamic. Alex probably notices taller young women because he believes that women are supposed to be small. He may walk around the mall and see a tall girl that sticks out to him because his expectations have been subverted.
She's scary!
Instead of asking if his expectations are wrong, he stubbornly insists that his biases and gut feelings are reality and that women are supposed to be small, so the fact that this person he saw was tall must mean something is up.
God said women can't be over 5'6".
So there are some studies that raise concerns about taking in too much bisphenol A, but they aren't quite what Alex is suggesting. This is one of his classic hyperbole situations. The FDA has done constant monitoring of the studies and new research that comes out about BPA, and they found very regularly that low amounts of it could theoretically get into food, food packaging.
Sure.
That contains BPA. That's a safe amount.
Right.
The reason BPA is in these materials is because it serves as a protective barrier for food. Why do you need this? Well, for instance, if food comes in metal cans, the risk of the food being contaminated by the metal itself is a much greater risk.
Oh, that makes sense, because in the past, people used to have metal stuff, and then they got contaminated all the time, and now we don't do that.
Well, many of the foods that come in metal cans are liquid or acidic, and that can lead to the metal corroding, and you end up with food that has a greatly diminished shelf life, among other risks.
Sure.
And so this is generally why some packaging has bisphenol A.
That's true, but a lot of people have forgotten that you get a lot of flavor from
tin.
Yes, exactly.
The data isn't clear that bisphenol A is as much of a danger as Alex makes it out to be, but if you're concerned about it, there are fairly easy ways to avoid it with just a little bit of strategic shopping, if that is something that you prioritize. And I don't know. I don't think it's the worst thing ever to be like, hey, I'm going to live a greener existence or whatever, and I'm going to try and avoid, because some people don't even want to have preservatives and stuff, you know. I can understand that, as long as you're not going too far with it like Alex is, where it's a conspiracy to make women big or something.
Yeah, there's a part of me with all of those where they're like, this chemical is in your stuff, and I'm like, personally, my view on that is there's really nothing I can do about it. If it's bad enough, people will let me know. You know, like, I can't know everything about enough chemicals, and I can't know everything about enough not chemicals to think that it's better than chemicals. I don't know enough of anything about anything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're killing me, just let me know.
Please have the courtesy.
And I smoked for years. That won't even stop me. They let me know they were killing me.
It's true. Alex might actually be Gilligan. Pechenik might be
the
skipper.
My friend, you may have stopped doing stand-up, but your timing is not stopped.
I could see Pachanik hitting Alex with his hat is the thing.
Sure,
that's
sure.
The image that came into my head.
Yeah. I could definitely see that.
Shit, this is
tough. That's tough. That is tough.
So Alex has this complaint about bisphenol A.
Uh-huh.
And there's millions of prestigious studies and hospitals and everything.
Every university.
Yeah, and so he gets into that. And what do you know? It's nonsense.
When I tell you all this, there are tens of thousands of studies from every major prestigious university and medical facility you can imagine, knowing all of this, and they've done it by design.
Why would they need that many studies?
What they're doing. Here's a Fox News headline. Forever chemicals in water and packaging can risk health, EPA says, and it goes into what it does. Washington Post, EPA warns toxic forever chemicals, more dangerous than once thought.
Forever chemicals are a name that are given to PFASs, or per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. Bisphenol A is not one of these PFASs. There is new information that's been coming out fairly recently that indicates that PFASs are not good at any level, whereas we had kind of assumed that lower levels of it would be, you know, not that bad.
Right.
And maybe it's not catastrophic,
right,
but the number of, it was like 70 parts per trillion or something was before like considered a safe level.
Yeah.
And now the EPA put it at zero.
So that's probably,
That's the change that's being,
if you're going from 0.00000000007 to 0.00000000 infinite repeating, chances are it's real bad.
Yeah, it's something that's not great. But also, the U.S. has been working to phase these out for years.
Sure. I mean, it's smart.
And Alex's hated EPA is a big part of leading that campaign. Alex is muddying the waters here because he doesn't know the difference between BPA and PFASs. He also knows that the audience doesn't know the difference, so articles about one family of chemicals can be presented as prestigious studies about a separate chemical, and it doesn't matter. The goal of spreading fear is still achieved, and no one be the wiser.
I would say that instantaneously, the moment you say there have been studies at every major university, that begs the question, why? What is it about this study?
Well, they got to be sure.
Well, sure, but I mean, so like 50 major universities are done with it. But fucking the University of Wichita is still like, God damn it, I don't believe these motherfuckers for a second. We're going to get Dave, the one guy that we have who does this shit, to run his own double blind study.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What's bigger than 50? 51. What's bigger than 51? 52. That's the thing. You can always have more prestigious studies.
But that doesn't make a difference.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
You're right, it doesn't.
It actually makes it even more suspicious than anything else in the history of the world.
I mean, we've been doing this a long time, and I know that you know that Alex is just making this up.
I know.
And when called to present studies, he has a Fox News article.
I know, but I do like the idea of somebody, of some university seeing, like, fucking Oxford, Harvard, Stanford, you name it, University of California, and some dude at University of Eastern Illinois is just like, I can't handle these liars.
I could see someone just being like, well, let's try and recreate those results.
Sure, for a fun time.
Yeah.
Ah.
And then you get 50 people doing that all of a sudden.
They tell two
friends.
What
do you got? Yeah,
they
each one teach one. So this is a longer clip.
Uh-huh.
But it's Alex talking about like how he needs to stay on air. And it's a little bit of a ride. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a boring ride.
Sure.
But here we go.
Okay. I'm sitting here looking at hundreds of clips and incredible announcements and war news and economy news and so many things I want to get to. I'm also going to start taking your phone calls, start of the next segment. But I'm going to go ahead and do this right now. There is a lot of news out there attacking InfoWars. A lot of controlled corporate press. I'm more demonized than any other media figure in modern history.
There's a small part of me that thought, because of the way he's building this up, and he's like, all right, I'm just going to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, is he going to talk about us? there's so much media demonizing InfoWars.
Let's get out of
the way. That's us.
Yeah,
that's, come on, man.
We're basically the main ones.
Yeah, not what happens.
Oh, damn it.
Trump is more demonized than me, but I'm a close second. And it's important to know why that is. They fear populism. They fear people waking up. They fear leadership. They fear the truth.
Nazis are bad, too.
If they can shut us down and silence us or curtail us, then they can create a false Alex Jones, a straw man, and they can demonize the populist movement by demonizing that straw man. They can use InfoWars and the fake straw man they've created as a mobilizer for their people. A great example of this is whether you liked Benjamin Netanyahu or were neutral on him or didn't like him.
What?
Unified dislike of him got him out of office. Now that Benjamin Netanyahu is gone, that coalition has fallen apart and that government broke up and fell yesterday and today. And he'll probably be back in. And it's the same thing. They don't like Trump because he's a unifier of the populist movement, but it could also be used to energize opposition. Well, InfoWars is good at unifying populists against tyranny, but if you can silence InfoWars and then misrepresent what InfoWars is, you can use it as a weapon against the people. That's why I can't just say, hey, hang up my spurs. I've already warned everybody. We've already done all this. My work is done. Because they will then misrepresent who we are and use the false Alex Jones they create as this media creature to destroy the liberty movement. And that's why it's so critical we stay in the fight. So I'm going to go to break, come back, play some of these key clips, and go to your calls. But let me just say this now. I try to bring you products that I use.
Oh,
I think
my
are
God.
Great.
It was all a plug.
It was all going there. I knew it was going there. I felt it happening. I felt the moment it was going to happen. And then when it did happen, I was still like, I can't believe you would do that. Yeah. I can't believe you would do that.
It's all just a rationalization for why you need to buy his shit. That's I've heard him a million times say that he's achieved his mission. He's ready to die. It's too late for the globalists. The awakening has happened, and he has done his part. I should quit tomorrow.
Any of this stuff. I'm ready to do it.
But no. He has to stay on air, because if he doesn't, then a fake version of him will be created in order to demonize the Patriot movement.
What it is, it's about protecting the rep. Okay, that's what it is. You know, you gotta. I'm
Save
gonna go down with my reputation intact.
Right. You guys need to know. Here's what you need to know.
What do you need to know?
I've done my work, and now from now on, this is all just fundraising.
This is all just he did kind of just say that, didn't he?
And me getting mad about people talking shit about me.
It is him being like, he just said, listen, the only reason we're on air is just so they can't fuck this up when we're gone.
Right. Yeah. So they don't use me to attack Trump or DeSantis or whatever. I'm just here as a placeholder. So give me money so I'm able to stay doing that.
Listen.
And protect my own image. But protect your own image to who?
Listen.
The people who are already listening to you?
Here's what it is. It's a lot like whenever Netanyahu was running apartheid, you know, and people were like, we don't want him in here anymore. That's a lot like Trump, because people don't like apartheid, right?
Well, but also, like, isn't it, it wasn't like mass disapproval of people. It was like corruption scandals.
They just wanted more apartheid.
Okay.
Yep.
So, look, there's big news.
Uh-huh.
This actually is big news.
Okay.
Alex has more to promote than just his standard bullshit.
Okay.
Nelly.
Okay.
Alex Moyer is a very successful filmmaker in her own right. She works with some other great filmmakers as well. I've said no to a lot of documentary film crews. Cover InfoWars, because it's just a distraction. They're almost always hit pieces. But she did, I think, a fair job and did a really powerful, entertaining film. It's about 2 hours long, and it's going to come out in late July. And there's been some big heavy hitters have seen it and are going to be endorsing it and pushing it and promoting it. I had nothing to do with this, but it's very interesting. Just wait for that in the next month. You'll see what I'm talking about very, very soon. This film has a lot of backing, and it's not just a one-sided Alex Jones love fest. I think it's very, very fair. It actually brought some tears to my eyes, but here's the first trailer today. If you want to share the trailer, it's posted on InfoWars.com. And then Scott Adams, the well-known
artist, what?
cartoonist and pundit. He had some of his own analysis dealing with it. And so we're going to play the trailer and then Scott Adams' comments back to back.
I'm Alex Jones. The story you're about to see is truth. This is reality.
Truth is stranger than fiction. I'm the most banned, most demonized media person in the world.
Alex Jones is a fake,
and he's a performance artist.
I'm perceived as a clown, a nut.
Here's all you need to know about how thorough this documentary about Alex is.
Uh-huh.
This is the first time I'd heard about it.
Yep, this is the first time I'd heard about it as well.
I don't think I'm entitled to be in every Alex-related piece of media, but I do think that if you're a documentary filmmaker who's trying to make a balanced documentary about Alex's career, it's nuts to not contact me.
Yeah.
I've been doing a show about him for over 5 years. I've watched more of his stupid show than just about anybody on Earth, and I've been cited in multiple published books and news articles about Alex. Without sounding too conceited, the fact that I'm not in this documentary is a red flag that this isn't a documentary, it's a puff piece about Alex.
Yeah.
This trailer definitely makes it seem like a whitewash.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Alex Moyer is a filmmaker whose most notable work is 2020's TFW No GF. Now, that feeling when no girlfriend. It's a documentary about young white incels.
No!
Yep. Some have criticized that film of covering the subject matter irresponsibly, and I would say that all indications are that this is going to be even more so.
Yeah.
This is, wow.
Yeah, it's not ego, and in fact, it's maybe more the most indictment of your character that there could be, that if you're making a documentary and you don't involve Dan, then you're insane. You're just insane. It's just crazy. We've gotten plenty of emails. It's fine. Yeah.
It's
we'll say no, probably. Or maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, I might have said no to this, honestly. I might not have wanted to be involved. But at the same time, I think it is indicative of a lack of interest in the topic, a lack of interest in seeing both sides. Because quite frankly, I think that a number of the criticisms and the information that we provide and discuss is not what the normal criticisms of Alex are.
No.
The normal criticisms that he gets are very easily deflected by him.
Mm-hmm.
And that will probably be the extent of the both sides that are going to be in the documentary. Won't be about his very clear history and career of lying constantly.
Well, there's that.
Making stuff up on air just from reading headlines and
just
deciding he knows what the story is.
That's a great time.
Clear patterns of very, very racist coverage of stories.
I mean, absurdly racist coverage.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that's not going to be covered.
No, I mean, they're not going to just say...
The flip-floppery about various stories depending on what suits his interest?
Yeah. No, I mean, here's the thing. Okay, here's a story of an illegal immigrant who found a gun after it had gone off and killed somebody.
No, that's the... I'm sorry, that wrong.
Yeah.
It went off after he picked it up.
Right.
But yeah.
That's not the point.
Right.
It wasn't his gun.
Yeah.
And here's how Alex covered it.
Yeah.
That would be a very simple and short documentary, and that's the end of what you really need to know.
Absolutely.
You know?
If you show, like, coverage of a racist act of violence against a non-white person,
mm-hmm.
and the way Alex will justify it and be like, well, you know, like, Ahmaud Arbery was, he was going through houses and stuff.
Racist violence is wrong. Now there's a reason for this racist to be racist.
Right. And then you have the coverage of, like, the Kate Steinle death and how he made up a story about how this undocumented immigrant saw this white woman that was so beautiful and he was so mad that he couldn't be with her, so he murdered her.
Yep.
Like, it's fucking insane.
Yep.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that needs to be the countervailing force in a documentary about Alex. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be like, oh, he's a fake character.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, he works for Mossad.
He's not telling the truth about who he really is. No. He's telling too much of the truth about who he really is.
Right.
Yeah.
And the like, I think it's almost irrelevant who he really is. I think that...
Absolutely.
I think that whether he is or is not anything in his heart, it's the
what he's done.
What? Yeah, the product that he has put out is a certain way, and he bears responsibility for that.
And that's the reason that you can't even put that one example in there. Because
right.
if you're trying to both sides that scale, mm-hmm. that example puts the scale so far down, like, oh, and now see, they call him a clown. No, he's a racist monster.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or things like the making up Operation Lockstep.
Totally.
Being a
yeah.
real thing.
Here's the document
Your
that we're talking about.
Constant like yep. coverage of shit based on things you see in memes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just bullshit. Like, clips from his depositions. Like...
Yep.
It's the I don't know. I will reserve judgment because I haven't seen this documentary.
Well, if it brought Alex to tears, I think your judgment is pretty well in hand.
If Alex is promoting it,
yeah.
It's not going to be something that is worth a damn.
Yeah.
But we will be covering it.
I know, in exhaustive detail. Yeah. Moyer is going to really wish they had contacted you.
Oh boy! So Alex does get some calls, and this guy has got some weird thoughts.
Blessed are you, Alex, when men revile you and persecute you and speak all manners of evil against you falsely for his namesake. For yours is the kingdom. And because of this element that you have become in the United States of America, people are like DeSantis. You just said DeSantis, but I'm guaranteeing you he's listening to your broadcast. I'm guaranteeing it because he
sure.
understands where you come from. You come mm-hmm. from the place where no one wants to admit they've been. And you've not been ashamed. You've not ever, as far as I've been listening to you, you've been telling on yourself. You're not hiding the fact that you're a flawed human being. You know, so you're really defeating them because you take from them the only weapon that they have to use against you, and that's your flaws.
That's not nearly the only weapon.
Wow. Wow. If you think that's the only weapon we've got, my
yeah,
friend.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And Alex is deeply ashamed of the things that he's, quote unquote, telling on himself about.
Mm-hmm.
That shame and unprocessed feelings that he has surrounding that guides a ton of his emotional outbursts
yeah.
that he has on air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous. This yeah. guy's premise of what Alex does is just off.
Yeah, you remember all those times where he's been like, you know what, fuck it, I don't even want to do this, I can't do this show anymore, I'm just going to quit, I don't belong here anymore. That's the shame from being himself,
mm-hmm.
coming out
right.
because he's a failure
mm-hmm.
in every meaningful sense, and he understands that, but he does like money.
Or the fill your hand, Adam Schiff
totally.
Rant
yeah.
From a number of years back, and then yep. The, oh yeah, sorry, my dog died.
Yep.
That's
yep.
why I was
yep.
So furious and drunk for 3 hours on air
uh-huh.
talking about crystal skulls covered in jizz.
That's what I had to do.
Anyway. Alex gets another caller.
Oh, yeah?
And this person, like, I don't think that necessarily anything they have to say is interesting, but their existence is interesting.
Okay.
John in Tennessee, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello, can you hear me, Alex?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
First-time caller. Just been listening to you for about a year, and, man, you've been very impactful on my life, and I know so many others. And just want to say we're glad to have you back in the studio, and we really missed you last week. Hope you got some good rest.
How is it possible that you could start listening within the last year and think
know.
That he's on to something?
I don't know.
I have a certain amount of empathy for people who have been listening for like 15, 20 years or
sure,
something.
Sure, 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 sure.
Because I think you could like...
There was a time.
Yeah, you could trick yourself into thinking like, oh, this is the same show I used to listen
sure.
to.
Sure, 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 sure.
Or whatever. Like, you know, he at least pretended to be covering more serious issues in the past.
I guess.
But, like, if you started a year ago, what the fuck is your problem?
What are you listening to?
Yeah.
What do
How
you hear?
How does this hook you?
What do you hear?
Right.
You know? Like, what is it that you listen to that, like, clicks inside your brain that makes you go, this 3-hour self-love fest.
Not often love.
No. Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. Self-harm fest.
Yeah.
BDSM fest.
Yeah, it's something that I find amazing. I don't know how that's possible. I think it's scary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how bad my life would have to be to like listen to 2021 Alex Jones and be like, this guy gets it.
I mean, but it's
where
so
would you have
awful.
To be emotionally?
It's awful in not just like like, you know, content wise, but it's just not entertaining. It's fucking, it's so boring.
Well, yeah.
And it's dumb.
It's true. It's true. Alex never tries to recast Gilligan's Island.
No, that's true.
That never happens
that's
on
true.
His show.
He doesn't have as much whimsy.
No.
That's kind of what... That's the only weapon that people can use against us, Dan.
That's true.
Our whimsy.
So I think this is the same caller. I'm not entirely sure, but he has a story about wearing Alex Jones Was Right shirt.
Okay.
And how it made him a rock star.
100% true story.
We've got to speak out. And one easy way that I did that, I bought the Alex Jones Was Right t-shirt. I went to the Trump rally in Memphis this past weekend, and let me tell you, I felt like a rock star walking around with that t-shirt on. I was getting high fives, fist bumps, you know, I got to get me one of those shirts. We went to our seats, my wife and I, we had great seats, right to stage left. Real quickly, Don Jr. comes out, he sees the shirt, it's like I was highlighted. He's just locked in on me during half of his talk, he was talking right to me.
Wow, man.
Yeah,
I listen. Okay, so like when we saw the yes, I don't know, what was this, like 15 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
There was a moment where I really believed Karen O looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Now it didn't happen or
okay.
Whatever, who cares,
right?
It doesn't matter. But if that moment of my life where I was idolizing one of the most amazing rock stars of our era,
right,
were instead transposed to Donald Trump Jr.,
mm-hmm.
I would be very, very sad.
Sure, sure.
When that's horrendously awful.
When I was living in Colombia,
uh-huh.
I the Wu-Tang came to town.
Sure.
And me and my brother were front and center.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a high five from Ghostface. And it was like Don Jr. was talking to me. I lost track of how I was going to make that connect.
I wasn't sure where the landing was going to come, but I was ready for it.
Couldn't make it work. Damn it.
I was there with the cones, man. I was trying to...
Yeah. We're doing semaphore. So, yeah, look, this shirt.
I don't want to hear about this fucking shirt.
It will make you a rock star at a very specific place, like a Trump rally.
This shirt makes me so hot, Don Jr. can't take his eyes off me, my friend. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And Alex, I think he's come up with a branding kind of opportunity here.
You want to see what it's like to be Alex Jones? Wear one of these shirts. Now, listen, you might get hit in the head with a ball-peen hammer or stab, too. Now, you'll shake 200 hands before somebody takes a swing at you. But I want to tell you, you wear one of these shirts, watch your ass, because you're going to be Alex Jones at that point. Wear the shirt. You'll experience the adventure for yourself.
I think he's trying to brand this shirt as
an
adventure.
That is selling the shirt more than anybody has ever sold the shirt.
I'll tell you this. Oh. If wearing a shirt brings along a even like 2% chance you're going to get stabbed or hit with a ball peen hammer,
yep.
I'm not wearing that shirt.
I do like
him. Hey, look, a lot of people will like you, but you could get stabbed.
This is an avenue of pitch that he couldn't take without the caller doing that. He couldn't be like, hey, listen, buy this shirt to feel like me for a day, because that would sound stupid.
Right.
But now that this caller says it, now he gets to lay into the, oh, my God, you'll feel just like me, so persecuted. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to high five you and Don Jr. is going to slap your balls.
It's a roller coaster, man. When you put on this shirt, you'll transform.
It's
like the mask.
God damn it. What an asshole.
Yeah, but like legit, this is just the brand now.
Yeah.
You know, if you just joined us, the last caller brought up how he wore an Alex Jones Was Right shirt and the adventure of the evening and how insane it was.
Oh, there's a lot of meat on this
bug. I tell you, they put one of these shirts on as an adventure. I'm not just saying that. It will let you know how awake humanity is in your area. You could wear one in Portland, and you'll get more support than you can.
Name more cities.
You could wear one in red areas, and people will be carrying you around on their shoulders. And it just shows how awake people are and how weak the globalists are and how we can win together if we just stand up.
Also, you might get stabbed.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we just stand up together and people wear my merchandise.
Okay. Now, I mean, are the globalists really that weak if it only takes 201 people to kill someone wearing a Alex Jones Was Right shirt? You know what I'm saying?
It's not necessarily a fatal stabbing.
Sure, that's fair.
Yeah.
But it'll probably ruin the shirt.
Could. Could ruin the
shirt. That's I think the end goal.
But that's good for Alex because he's just gonna sell another shirt.
That's right. He's gonna sell more shirts.
Yeah. It almost works better if people have a more negative response to it.
It's like selling jeans with the knees already
pre-distressed.
You've got a knife hole in your shirt.
Uh huh. Every shirt that I sell comes with a pack of stitches.
Pre-stabbed.
It comes with like Band-Aids.
Yes. And, blood transfusion kit. Yep.
Oh, God.
The whole thing is in there.
So that, I mean, like legit, that call and the fallout from that call is just a commercial for his shirt.
Of course,
so,
yeah.
I mean, we're doing a lot of marketing
that
on this
episode.
That
could not have been more a stroke of luck for him, right? Yeah.
So Alex takes another call, and this guy's got some ideas about how to win.
I've got three things. In my mind, it's hard to answer your question because they're all important, but justice, we need to get rid of the DAs, the FBI, that's not doing its job. I think if these people had a fear of prosecution, they wouldn't keep doing the things like, you know, spraying chemicals on us and releasing things. And thing number two might be the media. We need to do like we did with the big oil and the phone companies years ago. We need to break up the big media. We need to bring back the truth in advertising rules. And number three, I think we needed to deal with the education. I think we need to, you know, get God back in schools, common sense, teach the truth, not just propaganda. Whether one or all of these three are on the top of the list, I don't know. But in my mind, I think if we don't get the rules and laws we have enforced, then they're going to get worse and keep doing what they're doing.
I like to try and find some middle ground, and so I'll agree that maybe some big media conglomerate should be broken up, like Sinclair.
Not a hard sell on my hey, break up large media corporations. Go for it.
Yeah, they're pretty destructive. I think maybe that'd be, you know, all the like companies that own tons of newspapers and radio stations and shit. Yeah, let's diffuse that a little bit. I do think that this guy, I wouldn't want to team up with him on that project, probably.
No.
Also, truth in advertising rules still exist.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a reason that you get a letter from, like, somebody.
There's a reason that Alex had to change his, he's selling his fucking
Alex
toothpaste.
Alex is the person who knows specifically truth in advertising rules still exist.
That's the last thing he wants is more truth in advertising rules.
No, that's the worst thing for him.
Yeah, bringing God back in the schools, that's a bad idea.
Imagine him being like, and then I want them to regulate the supplement industry. No! Get this man dead! Kill him! Kill him!
I think this dude's just mad at the FBI because of January 6th.
Sure.
Because they're investigating conspirators.
Yeah.
And then I think he's just bringing up the DAs because Alex has said that Soros owns all the DAs.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like a real, I'm still looking for justice for Fred Hampton guy on the FBI front. So
No, these are all just like, yeah, I'm just repeating shit Alex has said. That isn't true. Now we get another call.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's got a fun nom de plume.
Okay,
Digital Dave in Wisconsin. Digital Dave, go ahead.
Thank you, Alex. God bless you and yours, my brother. My beloved wife and family and I are all praying for you and all of your family members and all InfoWars talented anointed staff and all of the InfoWarriors out there.
What about
me? I'll get right to my point, but let's say a quick prayer here. Father God, we are grateful and thankful.
I don't want Digital Dave praying. I want Analog Dave praying. Digital Dave is too close to the singularity.
Yeah. I want 8-track Dave.
Right.
That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, I want it closer to human Dave. so we're getting a lot. I mean, people are praying on air.
That's a
fairly
lot.
Fairly regularly.
Yeah, that is like one of those. Is that a generalized sign of things getting much worse? More prayer on
InfoWars?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes, it is.
That is a sign of something troubling.
Yeah.
Alex, like I said, there's a lot of marketing on this episode. And so he decides to really lean into it and play that trailer again.
Oh, no.
That's Alex's War, a film coming out in late July. It's going to be in movie theaters, you name it. All right, we're taking phone calls right now. Appreciate all of you patiently holding.
Yeah, so this is really fun timing that Alex has, because late July happens to be exactly when the Sandy Hook trial was rescheduled to start.
Does seem that way.
So Alex Moyer is pretty lucky in terms of that timing.
Huh.
Yeah. So the documentary has a Twitter account, and I noticed that they seem to retweet a lot of InfoWars-type folks.
Weird.
Who are really excited for the film. So I decided to look through the people who they're following.
Sure.
Here are some of the notable names.
Okay.
Alex's wife, Mike Cernovich, Michael Malice, the hosts of Red Scare, Trump documentary propagandist Amanda Millis, Superman turned right-wing ding-dong Dean Cain, the Hodge twins, Paul Joseph Watson, Scott Adams, Brett Weinstein, Jimmy Dore, Barry Weiss, Jack Posobiec, Russell Brand, Glenn Greenwald.
Jesus Christ.
Tim Dillon.
There's just a murderer's row of shitbags on there. Just a murderer's row.
Pizzagate veterans.
How long are they they're still around.
Yep. I'm not optimistic that this is going to be an actual in-depth documentary look at Alex's career, because if it were, Alex would never have agreed to be in it and promote it. If it dealt with his professional and personal track record of being an embarrassing liar, I don't believe we would be hearing about it on his show.
Absolutely not.
But hey, look, I haven't seen it. I'm gonna keep my mind open.
Don't let Lucy put that fucking football down, Dan. I see you letting. I see Lucy walking up with the football in hand, just rubbing it gently with a nice little cloth, making sure it's all nice and smooth.
Well, and just to reiterate, too, like, I don't think that I need to be in the film.
No, of course not.
I do think, though, that the points that are important to bring up that I would bring up are things that should be in the film.
Yeah,
and are a documentary about Alex would be lacking if these things weren't in it.
And this
I'd be perfectly happy if anybody else brings those up, and I don't know that somebody doesn't.
Yeah.
So I will reserve judgment until that point, but also I can't believe that Alex would be a part of something that would just have the critiques need to be made.
Well, and let's not beat around that bush there. It is not just Moyer. The number of how not to cover Alex Jones episodes we've done kind of suggests that there is a responsibility gap all across the board whenever it's covering Alex Jones, for the most part.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the proof of concept is there in terms of, like, he goes on Rogan and they get, like, a ton of people watching.
Sure.
He does stuff and he gets attention for the people who have him on. Flagrant 2, and he's on, does good numbers and all this shit. And I think that you could reasonably assume, if you're a documentary maker, like, hey, making a documentary about Alex would be something
very easy.
Yeah. Especially, and it would be something lucrative.
Yeah, totally.
People would watch it. It would get a lot of attention.
Totally.
And I think that, if you were able to time it right around when the Sandy Hook trial is going on, that doesn't hurt.
That's a good idea.
Certainly, it'll be a topic of conversation that a lot of people are interested in.
Yep.
But you also have to know that if you watch his appearances on things like Rogan, he's only going to be involved in stuff that doesn't involve heavy pushback.
Yeah.
And when he can sort of be in control, more or less, of the entire situation.
Absolutely.
You're never going to be able to get him in a, like, Errol Morris style, like, gotcha type of documentary.
I would like absolute confirmation that Alex had no control over whether or not something would wind up in there. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't film something of Alex that Alex wouldn't want to be in the documentary and then be like, hey, let's just put this in without telling him. Huh? You know, that didn't happen.
No, certainly not.
Nope.
So we got another caller here, and they have an idea about what the most important thing is for the info war.
Most important stuff that we can do.
Oh, I know this. Tucker Carlson.
Spread the word. Listen to InfoWars, spread the word, share videos, support you guys, and just try to keep breaking through to your friends and family. It may take a lot of effort, may not feel like it's gotten anywhere, but we have to break through.
The most important thing in the fight against the globalist is promoting Alex, giving money to Alex, and alienating people in your life who might be able to help you see that this shit is no good.
I mean, that is how you do it. That is how you fucking go from, like,
I mean, in a negative way.
Absolutely. No, I mean, if you want a captive audience, then you literally make them your captives and have them believe that the only way to save the world is to promote you. That's amazing.
Well,
that's like the most evil way. Listen, hey, I know you want to try some fucking Lucky Charms, man, but if you don't eat Kix, everyone you know will die.
Well, and better eat those Kix.
Yeah, you better eat those Kix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one way to do it.
It's a weird sales pitch when it doesn't work on you.
Right.
You know, like, when you see it, it's like, that's very weird. But it must just work enough that it doesn't matter and people just... stay in the fold.
I don't know. You know, people are social animals, and when they stop feeling social, and then they start to try and find something social to feel, and then you get trapped, and then so on and so forth, and yada, yada, yada.
So I've been watching the January 6th Commission stuff. Yeah. I haven't watched the one that was today. We're recording this on Thursday. But I'm going to after we record. But the last one prior was really, really hard. Because they interviewed the ballot workers, or the poll workers, who were counting ballots in Georgia. The woman and her mother, who had been singled out by the right-wing media.
Right.
And one of the things that was particularly distasteful about it, obviously the stories of how it had affected their lives and how they, you know, basically are afraid of their own names now. That's just terrifying. But the thing that really, I think, is the resonant image for me is Rudy Giuliani and his behavior surrounding that.
Yeah.
And the way he put a target on them and and behaved and testified in some racist ways about their actions. That leads us to this next clip.
All right. Let's go ahead and talk to Derek in Virginia. Derek, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Alex?
I'm all right.
Hey, I was wondering, I want to try to cover the list you asked. You know, one thing I never heard nobody talk about on the shows is that Trump's biggest mistake was not selecting Rudy Giuliani as his attorney general. If he would have selected Rudy Giuliani as his attorney general, I don't believe we would have had Russia. I don't believe we would have had Ukraine. I don't believe we would have had so many cabinet members inside who turned on the president. And that's just something, that was his biggest mistake, I believe. Well, and no one wants to say that or admit that, but... Personally, my opinion, that was his gravest mistake that he made to this day.
And, no, I agree. Giuliani would have been a lot better attorney general than the other two he had.
I think he's right.
I mean, yeah, it is.
I completely disagree, but yeah, that is. If the idea was consolidating power and all of that shit,
yeah,
he did choose somebody who looked like he would be as corrupt as they come, but then he ended up recusing himself.
Yep.
It's
okay. So close.
Yeah.
He chose the guy who was famous for doing the one thing that he did not do that one time.
It's, yeah, I mean, like, this caller is correct. I mean, Rudy would have gone along with anything.
Oh man,
he would have helped overthrow all sorts of shit.
I mean, I do really feel like what he was like. You know, what would have really helped is if he had just overthrown the government on election day.
Right.
Why you got to go overthrow the government later?
I mean, I think that's what Stuart Rhodes had been saying.
Yeah, exactly. The entire four years. Why not just pack the courts, dissolve the Senate, dissolve the House, and put yourself and AG Rudy Giuliani up there? Anyways, 2024.
And also, I just need to, you know, really remind everyone that in InfoWars canon, according to the story, Rudy Giuliani was instrumental in covering up 9/11.
Yep.
So Alex should never be interested in, like,
water
Rudy
under the
should
bridge.
Be the AG.
Water under the tower bridge. Just, you know,
like, none of this has any kind of staying power. These storylines don't mean anything tomorrow.
Nope.
It's pathetic.
No, that's, but it's what happens whenever you live in, like, movie world. The shifting alliances make things fun, you know? Like, oh, this guy's my enemy and we're fighting, but we also respect each other because maybe later on we'll be on the same team, you know? Like, that whole bullshit.
Palace intrigue.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, there's an episodic nature to fiction, you know? Like, maybe one Sherlock Holmes mystery doesn't necessarily affect the other one.
Sure.
Or whatever. There's no continuity between them.
Right.
And I think that some of Alex's bullshit works in that way.
Well, I mean, you think about it. Luke essentially did 9/11 to the start to the Death Star, right? And then later on, you find out he's the good guy. So why not?
I don't know if I've...
I don't know.
I didn't see Rogue One. Should I have seen Rogue One?
No.
Okay.
No, that was A New Hope.
Oh.
Yeah,
I've
remember?
Seen that one, yeah.
Yeah. He flies down there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Close your eyes.
No,
don't even think about it.
I remember that. I thought maybe something was revealed that it was a false flag or something like that later.
No.
In some other Star Wars movie that I haven't seen. Okay, that's a relief.
No, it's all good.
So the callers have to go.
Yeah.
They're getting replaced.
Uh-oh.
All right, Leo Zagami is up next.
Oh,
and
no.
After he goes, I'll try to get to your calls. I appreciate you calling
what
in. Leo Zagami's taking over. But let me just say this real quick. The smartest thing I can say is you need to get storable food.
Okay, buddy. All right, I get it. More things we need to buy from you.
Oh, the Pope's sick. Is he sick?
Well,
something like that.
For a few months, I think he got surgery and was in a wheelchair.
Ah, okay.
And so, like, yeah, there is some conversation about him stepping down.
Time to not be the Pope no more.
Right, but I don't think a lot of that is very official. But yeah, that's a lot of what Leo Zagami's got.
Yeah, that's what I was...
His brand is the Pope is going to step
down. Exactly, yeah.
Kind of stuff.
I was like, what the hell is he doing? And then it clicked in my head, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, Leo, as we know a lot about Leo's history. Alex may or may not, but it's funny to imagine that he does when he says something like this.
True Vatican, former Illuminati, whistleblower, insider. What a time to be alive, Leo. How you knew all this so many years. I knew you were 20 years ago, and I was like, I don't know if that's true or not. And then it all came true. That's why I've had you on. Yeah.
So if Alex believed...
I did 9/11!
If Alex knew who Leo Zagami was 20 years ago, then he would know about... Well, maybe not. That's a little off.
Okay,
his disco days.
All right.
His DJ Leo right. Young days.
He's not Giorgio.
No.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But at that point, he would have been the leader of the Church of Matrixism.
Yep.
His goal was to start the new Holy Roman Empire and overthrow Christianity, making Matrixism the only real religion in the world.
True.
He was Jesus.
He was
Neo. He was Leo.
He is Leo.
he did 9/11 single-handedly.
He did.
Although he worked with Osama bin Laden.
Well, I mean, you gotta have friends.
he went to the Vatican and they said, hey, you got the codes.
That's right. They were like, holy shit, Leo.
Yep.
How do you know so much?
And apparently the Jews also said, like, hey, whoa.
This guy's too much.
He's too good. he's the Messiah.
Yeah. I mean, the Messiah is on InfoWars right now, and that we're just treating him poorly because he hasn't come into his power yet. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. You know, we're the naysayers early on.
Right.
Our retribution will be swift and severe, I'm sure.
Yeah. But 20 years ago, Alex, fucking, you didn't know. You didn't know shit about
no
this guy
clue.
until he came into your life a couple years ago, you dumb fuck.
How fucking dare you?
Anyway, the Pope's going to resign.
There is not much left to this papacy that will probably end up in August, maximum in September. I know that we've been saying this before, that he will resign, but he has been resisting because he, of course, wanted to wait for the death of Ratzinger. But Ratzinger is still there, so that's about it.
Wait. So I like this, that like... You know, we've been saying that he's going to resign for a while, and he's just been resisting because he's waiting for Ratzinger to die.
So
I think that what's being implied here is that he wants to wait until Ratzinger's dead so Ratzinger doesn't become Pope again.
I think that's exactly what is being implied here.
Yeah.
I think Leo is
former popes are the understudy of living popes.
I think Leo, and he's not saying this because I think it would be insane to say out loud, but I do believe Leo thinks that the Pope thinks that if he dies before Ratzinger, he's going to get the papacy back.
Yeah. Or if he steps down. Yeah.
why would the current Pope be like, oh, shit, that guy's right on my heels.
COP.
The guy who resigned from the Pope papacy.
Yeah, it's COP, continuity of papacy.
Continuity of papacy. No, I understand.
Yeah, the Ratzinger is in a survivor.
He's like interim Pope is what's going on, you know, until they can find a sufficient Pope
emeritus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway,
what's wrong with these
there's
people?
Some very serious stuff that we need to be considering.
Sure, like the Pope.
But there is a sense of desperation almost because there is also a prophecy that was said a long time ago.
Oh, yeah?
A prophecy, one of these Marian apparitions of the Holy Mary in Garabandal. And in these apparitions, they said the moment in which the Pope ever steps in Moscow, that will be the beginning of the end for mankind. And these visions are considered legitimate by saints of the Catholic Church like Padre Pio or even Mother Teresa of Calcutta. So we are really facing some incredible times and we need to be ready. Like you said before I started my segment, storable food is essential. I have my own bucket from InfoWars right here and I suggest everybody else to do the same.
All right. Okay. that went from him doing an Italian, his natural Italian accent, to him doing a weird Italian pitch accent where he's like, and I have got my storable food right here. And it's like, whoa, that's not okay, man.
What just happened there? I don't know if I detected as much of a difference as
that
you.
That was crazy.
So we got a ghostly apparition of the Virgin Mary who made a prophecy that if the Pope sets foot in Moscow, it's the beginning of the end.
Get him there.
So get ready, but also you got to buy storable food from Alex Jones.
It's the beginning of the end.
Everything is fucking sales. Even Leo Zagami coming in and talking about... talking about Virgin Mary prophecies turns into a chance to sell fucking dehydrated food.
Oh, man.
It's awesome.
I love prophecies like that. I just want them... Just like, make a prophecy like that and I'm... putting the Pope on my back and carrying him to Moscow tomorrow. Let's fucking do this. If I don't care one way or the other, right? That's what I'm saying. If the world's gonna end, if the Pope gets to Moscow, let's just do it. Why are we waiting generations for some Pope to accidentally stumble into Moscow? Let's get it over with, man. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean I don't know. I mean, I think there's an argument for let's not risk it. I don't know. Anyway, look.
Yeah.
We have some news.
Okay.
Oh, God. This stuff is just so dumb.
Uh-huh.
The Vatican is putting out a coin that, by the way, is a 20 euro coin. So that's over $20. And with the rising inflation, we start figuring out
that it's getting got Colonel Travis on it.
Where
what a weird coin.
$20 or 20 euros would just be a coin. Imagine that, Alex. And on top of all of this, of course, the Archdiocese of Manila and the Office of Exorcism that they are establishing said that demons are also linked with the electrical world, with the technological world. And after an exorcism, the chief exorcist denounced that demons were actually even sending messages to his mobile phone. I know that this might sound incredible, but this was...
Singles in my area.
Francisco Sica, who is the chief exorcist of this facility, so it's not something that I'm making up.
This is troubling. Demons can text.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. You know, the later when the Generation Z gets older, they will not believe that demons live in technology because they never lived through the modem. You know, they never lived through.
That's demonic.
Yeah, they never had to deal with that.
Also, you might notice that Alex no response and a little bit of silence.
Oh, no.
After
absolutely.
Leo brought up the Vatican printing a coin.
Absolutely.
Because he just sold a series of coins.
I was going to say.
That were a little bit overpriced.
Can you believe it? The Vatican charging people too much for a coin. What kind of monster would do that?
Right. Maybe Leo didn't read the room. So we have one last clip here, and it's a little bit of a disagreement between Alex and Leo.
Uh-oh.
They have different ideas about what to do about the fact that cities are all going to burn themselves down.
Sure.
You know, the trouble is coming.
Right.
And
right.
It's just Leo believes that there is no way to save these cities.
Right.
You're never going to take control over them.
So this is a little bit like if we were arguing about what would happen if the Cubs murder-suicided their entire team. That
sure.
kind of thing.
I'll allow it.
Yeah.
Sure.
The cities, unfortunately, are in the hands of the enemy, and most of them are in the hands, of course, of the demoncrats, and I don't think we can recover the cities. So we need to prepare a reality outside of these cities. This is something I always stress, and I will continue to stress.
And let's be clear, the globalists can't help but abuse and suck off of and destroy anything they have control of. So if we can just remove ourselves while they collapse things, they'll destroy the cities, we will then inherit them. People think, oh, they've got the cities. No, just stand back while they destroy it, and then they'll burn themselves out.
Well, we hope they will do that, but
what?
There is also a problem.
I'm sorry,
here,
what?
Alex, that the cities might become smart cities in the hand of Cyber Satan and his robots.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah.
If the Pope ever comes to Chicago, we're going to be in the hands of Cyber Satan and his robots, Dan.
This is the roller coaster that is a Leo Zagami sentence.
That is what it is.
Because at first, you're like, wait, you do want the cities to burn themselves down
I guess?
Alex can come in and take control of them?
Sure.
That sounds bad. Why would you want that? Oh, because the alternative is obviously the cities themselves become sentient.
Of course.
And are the tools of Cyber Satan and his robot army.
Totally. Okay. Absolutely. No. All of our cities are going to go the way of Sodom and Gomorrah because we weren't hospitable enough to Leo Zagami and Alex Jones. And that's what happened.
And by that, you mean that we didn't book Leo Zagami to do a DJ date.
Yeah, well.
And Alex's film didn't play at the Music Box.
Yeah, I think that is going to wind up being the downfall of all of us.
Probably. Probably.
We should have just let these idiots live in their fun little Christmas carol fucking things. Yeah.
So, this is Alex's return.
Yep.
I don't know what to tell you.
It
wasn't much.
You know what? I feel like you left out the word triumphant.
I didn't. I mean, it was if I did leave it out, it was intentional. Because I don't sense triumph. I just sense a lot of sales. A lot of trying to sell things.
Yeah.
Just taking calls to avoid really exposing that you don't want to cover any of the stuff that's going on.
It's all bad.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, yeah, because once he starts talking about any of it, if he doesn't have control, shit can go wild, you know?
Yeah, if he doesn't know any of the stories. But
totally.
I feel that way, but then I also think, like, we're applying and projecting rationality on anybody listening. Like,
that's
he
fair.
Gets away with just making shit up all the time. Why
that
would he
fair.
Need to have awareness of the stories he's covering?
I don't know.
He usually doesn't.
You're right. You're right. It doesn't matter.
It's probably just a comfort thing.
I think it's, yeah, I think more of just like a personal sense of pride, at the very least, some sort of level like, I am
still a news guy. No, disagree.
Nope, disagree.
I think it's like a half day. I think it's easing back into the
okay.
show because the listeners will really just do most of it with the calls.
Sure.
I'll just be able to play around with that for the most part.
First day back from vacation.
I'll play my trailer for this documentary over again and over again and then have Leo Zagami say a bunch of stupid
nonsense.
Shit. And yeah, so that's that.
That's one way to do it.
It is. It may not be what I would advise, but
I wouldn't recommend it, but that is definitely a way.
Yep. So, welcome back, Alex. I'm glad he's back in studio because I feel like there's a bit more normalcy.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we now can confirm he didn't flee.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That open question has been closed.
Yeah. We can also confirm that some of that $8 million went to a nice 2-week vacation.
Yes. Yes. Probably somewhere nice.
Yeah.
And we'll see if he gets back into shape, gets himself to a place where he can be interesting. And we'll find out next week.
Indeed.
But until then, Jordan, we have a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight and @GoToBedJordan.
Yeah. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I hope you all have a wonderful, dreamy, creamy summer.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.